This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Pascal Interior Designs initially outsourced manufacturing, but shifted to in-house production to meet growing demand. And today we are really honored to have Pascal Hlongwane, who's the founder and director of Pascal Interior Designs and Carpentry Services, joining us as our guest. He will share his insights into his entrepreneurial journey, the challenges he has overcome, but also looking at his vision for the future of this particular business. Pascal, a great pleasure to have you on the program this morning.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. How are you? Thanks. It's still morning. Thank you. Good morning.
It's still morning. Firstly, can you tell us a bit more about yourself, but also this inspiration behind founding Pascal Interior Designs?
Thanks a lot, Lenta, for having me. It's a great pleasure to be here. I think this was an amazing journey. We started in 2018, just before COVID. one year into COVID, and then we had to think about, do we stop or do we continue with our journey? But likely with us, we said, you know what, we have a vision, let's get going. We continued with our plan, and then we put together a team of carpenters. I was lucky that my brother is also a carpenter, then joined the team. And then, we wanted to bring in an element of functionality into the space, generally I had a kitchen myself, and most of the things that I saw there, there was no functionality, even the quality was not that good. And Johannesburg is saturated with this type of properties, and we said, you know what, if we can look at bringing in something that's more functional with high quality, definitely, and add value to our clients' properties, that is a key element that brought us into our space, and that's what we focus on. I think 5 years down the line, we are here. We've built up from 8 employees to now over 50 employees at the stage.
So Pascal Interior Designs offers a range of bespoke carpentry services. Can you walk us through the process of developing these products, but also ensuring the quality and effectiveness of what I use?
Yeah, look, we have a design team. We are blessed with, I think we have about 8 to 10 interior designers, qualified interior designers that will obviously do an idea generation with the client, get the requirements that the client wants, and then once we have that, then we go to the back end and customize the space for their clients, and we then drive the whole functionality into the space. When we are done, the client is happy, we then proceed to the manufacturing facility. We have an amazing factory where we have CNC machines, really good machines that really produce good quality. Then we obviously manufacture. Then after manufacturing, we also have a design team. We have about, I think, 6 or 7 teams that in-house installers that will install that our products. We do everything in the house, from your kitchen, building cabinets, your walk-in closet, bars, anything that has to do with wood in the house, we play with it for both commercial and sort of residential properties as well.
So as a new player in the market, of course, you did say that you are a number of years in now and the business has somewhat grown. But give us a sense of your initial barriers to enter the market. What challenges did you encounter and how did you overcome them?
Look, some of the most, I think the challenges in South Africa, they're all bare. We all know the first thing that you need to have is money. So fortunately with me, you need to have obviously initial capital that we need into our business. So likely with me at that stage, I was working in the mining industry. I had over 15 years industry experience, and I used my own passion to invest and take the risk with it. So I initially invested with my own money. Capital becoming obviously the most important thing. The second one, obviously, you have saturation in the market of, import material that are quite cheaper. We all know that it's easy to import the kitchen from elsewhere and bring it in. But obviously, some of the materials that it comes into the country is quite cheap material and poor quality, and it has its own challenges in terms of installing them right or using them correctly locally. So those were, you know, you have that, and obviously we had. I mean, with our space at that time, where there's low, we have a low economic growth in the country. So you have to balance the fact that your customers are not having the money to buy. Very few have little to use at that stage. So we had to balance in obviously how we face in our costing into the space, as well as really focusing on quality, as well as looking at every cent that we put into the business,
and making sure
that we add value to it. Yeah.
But who is your target market here, and how have you positioned your brand alongside more established competitors in the industry?
Look, I think the most important thing at high level, I think I'll say, if you base your product offering on quality, sustainability, obviously, and automation, and stay in the forefront of being the evolve with the industry in terms of let me give an example. If you are not going to emphasize functionality into your kitchen, you're not going to emphasize quality, then obviously your clientele will talk about you, will talk about how you're completing your projects, and that becomes what you call referrals that comes into the space. So we lift up to that. We make sure that every project we complete with quality, and make sure that we also align with the property value of our clients, so that we can say this is a value adding to our property. Those were the most founding principles of how we're running our business, and that's how we cater now for your high end clients. Our kitchens start from 250,000 upwards. We are more on your urban areas. We do a project out remotely, but most of our clients are mainly in your housing areas, more on your higher end market. Yes.
Right. But how do you stay innovative as well and ahead of the curve when it comes to these industry trends in carpentry and furniture manufacturing? Because, I mean, the trends are always changing over time.
Yeah, I think we always stay ahead because of one thing. I'm one person that I'm open to learning new things. We attend industry trade shows, both local and also international space. Like now, we're heading to the new for the 2024 Decorex that is coming up in a month time. So obviously, there's trends that are gonna come in, and we need to be either you are going to be either the trendsetter, or you're going to follow other people. So we always try to see what the space goes towards, bringing innovative, bringing sustainable technologies that are coming into the space. And obviously now we are more into more of automation, home automation. So we're incorporating that into our space. That is what gives us more the bigger edge in terms of our competition. And I think we want to have our own way, you know, break the space and create our own destiny, unlike following what the industry detects for us and so on.
I quite like what you're saying, because building a loyal customer base is also quite crucial. How do you connect with your customers, but also foster a community around your brand?
Look, we flipped up to our vision. I think that was the most important thing, to say, what do you want to do? You know, you want to bring in an experience. You know, if you're just going to sell, you are not going to have, you know, it's not that you're selling sweets or fast moving goods. You are selling something that is adding value to a property. So when someone comes into your space and say, we're looking at transforming, let's say, our home or a functional space, we then drive to say, we need to live up to the end product. You know, and how you live up to the end product is when you can also go and do a handover to the client and say, are you happy? You know, and that is a two-way traffic, where we also get to understand what are our shortfalls and where is areas that we can improve, and where we're doing well, you know, we get it from the client's view and feedback. So we really emphasize on getting feedback from our clients during our handovers, and we always, as much as we do a lot of projects in every year, but we do at least 90% to 80 to 90% of our clients we go to and make sure that we do handovers and we get the feedback from there. And during that process, that's how we build our loyalty to our clients. And then, that's where we build our loyalty base. You know, they will always refer other people and say, those guys are doing a very good job. You know, they live up to any snack that might be in the house. We go back there if there's any snack that comes in and repair and get going. And we really partner those very strategic suppliers that really bring in products that can, you know, have very good warranty. Some is lifetime warranties that can assure our clients to say, whatever we've put in here is a lifetime guarantee. You know, that's what builds our brand, and that's what we emphasize on, and that's what gives us the competitive advantage.
The more you know. Power 98.7.
Indeed, we are talking, and this part of the Entrepreneurial Edge, where we delve into the success story of Pascal Interior Designs today. He also owns a carpentry business founded back in 2018 by Mr. Pascal Hlongwane. This black-owned company has made waves in the industry with its exceptional interior design. Pascal, we've been speaking about your growth over the years, but South Africa's furniture industry does face various challenges. What do you see as the biggest challenge, and how does Pascal Interior Designs navigate these?
Look, I would say one of the biggest challenges, obviously, in the country was, or still is, it's obviously the imports, you know, cheap imports that are coming into the country. I think that's one of the biggest challenges. The second one is obviously the low economic growth. You know, obviously, everyone is still finding hard to really buy high-end products. You know, there's no much appetite on high-end products. So you'll obviously have a market saturation on your low or entry-level products that are in the market. So, yeah, so with having said that, you know, the only best way you must focus on, obviously, is stay into your vision and say, what do you want to do, who do we serve, and why are we in the space? And for us, was the bottom line was functionality must take priority. Sustainability of our product, you know, everything's moving more into sustainability. You know, your efficiency, your innovation, that's very important. And the other pillar was to say functionality must be the center of everything that we do, because we want to bring in functional spaces. And then the last one was obviously to say, whatever we do, especially with low economical growth, we really need to add value to the property of our clients. And that's the bottom line. Doesn't matter what you are doing, you must say, your property, I'm improving it. And that's what we made sure that we sort of remain, attractive to our clients, because of we are living up to our vision or our pillars or our principles. That's what drives us in terms of what makes us to navigate that. But yes, the low growth of economy is really making things difficult, and obviously the imports are coming in at a cheaper rate as well.
And looking ahead, how do you envision the manufacturing industry evolving in the next 5 to 10 years? And where do you see Pascal Interior Designs fitting into that future?
Yeah, look, we know that obviously things are moving more into sustainability in terms of, you know, we are all going green, you know. Two, we are all going automation. No, we are becoming more, you can say, lazy of human beings, but I think we prefer to take things more functional than our previous generations. And the last pillar, obviously, will be the functional space that we're utilizing. You know, you're going to have that trend that is still going to come in. And for us, we want to evolve with the industry. Obviously, quality is going to be the best thing that drives the market. You know, everyone is moving to say, whatever I'm buying today or I'm investing into must last me long. So that will become, will always be the driver of the industry. And then we want to remain and evolve with the industry and keep up with the trends. And obviously, we need to practice the trends. You know, it doesn't help for us to talk quality, and we're using less quality products for our clients. Obviously, the industry will make us not to be attractive. So our aim is to focus on that, and obviously we are open to learning. Our policy within our business is that even if you enter day one in our company, you are as important as the first employee that came into the business. So everyone contributes, and we listen to new innovative ideas, and that's what sets us apart, and that's what we drive any new innovation that comes in, and we participate. And I think that will make us to evolve and keep up with our trends.
And Pascal, can you share with us your views on entrepreneurship in South Africa, particularly in the context of SME funding and support?
Yeah, I think, the funding element in the country, there is, I think, the government support, you know, especially, finance houses such as the CIFA, NEF, and DTI. I think that they must play the role of the bigger player in driving the growth and expansion of companies like ourselves. I think for two main reasons, because of the lending is cheaper, and obviously, you know, with our historic background of, you know, as you know, that we have challenges in terms of our demographics, in terms of access to funding and so on. You really want to, the government must drive the initiative of funding or assisting us as SMEs in order for us to get cheaper lending and in order for us to keep the competition, obviously, and to make the industries to come back into the country. You know, I personally believe that SMEs are the key drivers of employment.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, if we, a company like ourselves, where we used to outsource our manufacturing and we are now doing it in-house, that ought to, on its own, managed to drive, I think, an additional 5 or 30 employees into the business, you know, just directly manufacturing ourselves compared to previously. So, you know, I think there should be more, obviously, I think, awareness of this type of funding that the government has. And you know, and I personally think as well that somehow, if the doors are more open and the deals are quicker to be done with government, and the barriers of lending, they are less shortened, it will actually accelerate growth within our economy and drive the SMEs to open up the industries that are more locked into minority groups, or you can say the big players in the market. So I think it's very instrumental for us to grow within that bridge. You know, there is obviously the commercial banks that are there that also support, but however, obviously the lending is a little bit more expensive. It will obviously be prime plus, and with government support, normally is less than prime, and I think it's more attractive for us to utilize the funding and grow our businesses.
And as you plan for the future, what are your expansion plans for Pascal Interior Designs? Are there any exciting new products or developments on the horizon?
Yes, it's actually at a very exciting time. We just recently finished our Kramerville showroom. We should be launching the new showroom mid-July. And we also have high level, we are currently focusing more on growing our retail side of the business. So we have the Kramerville showroom. We are busy going to Pretoria East in the near future. I think we will be opening the Pretoria East within the next 4 months. That's the second phase of our retail side. And then I think something interesting now, it will be attending our Decorex showroom in Sandton Convention Center, happening, I think, the 1st of August. We will be exhibiting there. I think it will be quite exciting for our customers or our fans to come and see our stand as well there.
And what advice would you like to give to aspiring entrepreneurs who are looking into entering interior design and carpentry industries based on your own experience and challenges?
Oh, advice. You know, I normally say advice is the most difficult thing to because of there's no right answers in the space. But I think for entrepreneurs, you know, I think don't rely on motivation. I think most of the one of the reasons why most entrepreneurs we don't break through is that we wait for motivation somewhere else and it never comes. I would say discipline is the most important thing. Remain true to your vision, you know. For those that are in carpentry, focus on quality, you know. The second one is to say customer satisfaction. Customer satisfaction is the most important thing that will bring referrals and grow your brand. So I'll say for my fellow colleagues in the kitchen or in the my furniture manufacturing space, quality is the most important thing. The second one is our customers. Customers. We look after them, they look after us.
And speaking about those customers, how can they reach out to you?
We have different platforms. I think we are very strong on our social media platforms, but you can contact us directly through our website. I think on our website, we also have a lead form that one can contact us through there. We are on Instagram. You check us out on Instagram. And then if you want to contact us directly on our landline, you can contact us on 012-012-5279. And then our email address is sales@pascal.co.za.
A heartfelt thank you to Mr. Pascal Hlongwane. He's the founder and director of Pascal Interior Designs and Carpentry Services.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.